that was once delivered. The faith that we received is worth agonizing over. It's worth contending over. It's worth striving over. It's not something to sit back and watch it disintegrate and say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. And the command to contend or to strive or to agonize is for all of us. There's a new type of religion being spreading really rapidly today, not just in America, but around the world. And this new type of religion is something that is coming in and making itself a part of existing, for the most part, existing churches. It's not biblical. It's not founded on the Bible. It's a new religion that is linking up to present churches. And this new movement is loosely categorized or named as the emerging church movement. There's different levels and different extremes of the emerging church movement. But what we're finding is churches that once had the faith and practiced the faith of Scripture are now allowing this new religion to come in, and they're accepting that and integrating that into their church. And the people that are being affected by this are the church members who now are told there's a new, improved way of worshiping God. There's a new, improved type of music that we should use in the church. There's a new, improved methods. We need to throw out what we've known and rethink church completely. Those are all warning signs when we hear that. And so what we've done, we've got a few clips here of people and churches that are allowing this new religion to come in and transform their churches that once earnestly contended for the faith. They're different places now. I believe they, at some point, depending on the level at which a church lets this in, they really cease to be a church of God and really become just a facade, a religious institution that uses the name church to beguile the ignorant and beguile those that are not watchful and are not haven't been warned. So we gave these lessons. Pastor Dameron wanted to deal with these lessons in CE class this last semester. And so these are three lessons that we warned our college students about. He felt that it'd be good to start this new year off warning you all about the same thing. Often someone says, I got back on vacation. You wouldn't believe the church that they said they were a Baptist church, and we went in there, and you wouldn't believe what went on in there. Well, we're insulated here to a large extent from things like this because the Lord's given us good shepherds that are willing to fend off these things, contenders for the faith. We don't just want to rely, though, on our shepherds to be contending for the faith. We, as church members, should be just as much aware and warned about these issues. So we're going to pray and then get into our lesson. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless our time. I pray that this would be informative and it would open some eyes up and that we would be, Lord, very aware of what's happening in this world, and we'd not be ignorant of what the devil is doing and the devices that he is using to try to erode good, godly churches into this new religion. We ask that you give wisdom today in Jesus' name. Amen. I am anything but a great person with technology, so I hope this works. So bear with me. If for some reason our screen doesn't work, then I will go over this just myself. Here's an example of some of the tenets or the beliefs of this new church, the emerging church that is around today. And the first thing we have here is what many churches, not necessarily independent Baptist churches, but many people that claim to be God's churches, an example of how they are borrowing from the Eastern religions and the meditational practices of Eastern religions and bringing them into Christian churches. This first clip is called the Maze, and this is a church service. And you'll see during the church service, the people are walking through this carpet that's a maze. And at different places along there, there's a place where they can do communion, place where they can confess their sins, place where they can pray, place where they can release their hurt. And this is in so-called Christian churches. So this is a short clip about that. That's the communion service here now. You stop as you're praying and walking in the circle. You say, I've never seen that before. Well, you're probably not Buddhist or Hindu. This is from them. This is what they do. Yet this is the one world church movement and recognizing all religions. Here's the communion service there. Sure, that's just grape juice, I'm sure, there in that bottle. Scott, can you get the chandeliers? That's confessing sins and turning them over. Okay, so we did not have to look hard to find that there's a church actually in downtown Chicago that 100 years ago was a fundamental church. It was fighting modernism, fighting against theological modernism. And today you can go by their church and you can participate in one of those exact same type of services. So to say that it could never happen is how it happens. So that's one of the more extreme examples of the emerging church, but there is a term that all emerging churches like to use, and the term is missional. The term missional, you may hear that more, and what this has to do is the idea that in reality, all of us are missionaries. And in a sense, that's true. We all are called to spread the gospel. But that's not what the emerging church means when they say missional. When they say missional, they mean it this way. We are all missionaries that God has put into this world at this time. Therefore, we need to embrace the culture that is all around us in order to be effective missionaries. They'll even use people like Hudson Taylor as a defense of this. When Hudson Taylor went over and he dressed like a person from China and began to reach people with China Inland Mission, they'll use that for an excuse for the pastors getting up in ripped jeans and a football jersey and tennis shoes to preach their Sunday services. They'll use this as a way to go out and throw down all separation dress, language, and entertainment from the world, in order to try to reach the people. We're all missionaries, therefore we have to be like those that we're trying to reach if we're going to reach them. Okay? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible uses the term sanctification and set apart and be not unequally yoked. Who wants to be reached if the person trying to reach them is just like they are already? Right? What's there to change? Was Paul, some questions here, was Paul missional when he went to Ephesus? Okay. Paul goes to Ephesus, huge city. He goes there, he works for 3 years. Did he embrace the culture and the ways of Ephesus in order to try to reach them? Well, I would say if he did, then he would not have been brought before the theater and about had himself ripped limb to limb. Was Paul missional when he went to Athens and he saw all the gods of Athens? Did Paul just embrace that culture and tell them everything was fine, that they could add God to their list of gods and everything would be just fine? Absolutely not. What did Paul do? Paul preached, you need to repent of your beliefs in these false gods. Those false gods will send you to hell. You need to repent and turn from your idols to God. Paul didn't go out to embrace the culture. He came to bring Christ as Christ is defined and described in Scripture to those people, and they then would change. So it's faulty and it's false to say that this is proper way of reaching people. We could go to the Old Testament and ask ourselves how much Joshua embraced the culture of Jericho after the walls fell down. Did Joshua go there to become like the Canaanites? No, God went there to drive the Canaanites out of the land and establish his people in the land. All right, so this term missional shows up over and over again, and it is a catchword of the emerging church. It says we should engage the culture. We should not take individuals out of the culture to some sacred space. It says we will try to plant all types of communities. He said, community and service is just as important as what we say. We need to be culturally relevant. This is all from their website. Culturally relevant. We need to seek for justice in this world. We need to engage the culture. We need to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. So we'll see that here in some of these other clips. So here we have famous, well-known emerging church leader talking about the mission of the church today. What is the mission of the church? Here he is. His name's Brian McLaren, and he has written a lot of books that are used by thousands of churches today, and we'll see what he thinks the mission of the church is today. You caught the word fiction there, right? You see how I threw that in there? Okay, so Jesus, in the New Testament, what Jesus was doing is a sort of fiction. It's art rather than God's inspired word for all generations. So they throw these little words in here, and if we're not discerning, we're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. He's saying a lot when he's talking about Jesus and his life being an art form and his stories being fiction.
Reconciliation with God, with one another, with our enemies, with creation. And so I see the church today. inviting them to become part of this story, to be transformed into, from being part of the problem in this world to being part of the solution.
Okay, so we're trying to solve the problems of this world. And what we're going to see through this, ultimately, one of the biggest problems with the emerging church is they have a non-biblical, a non-literal view of eschatology or of Christ's return. Here's words right from their writing. They believe that Jesus and his kingdom has already come and his reign has already been inaugurated. In a sense, therefore, the future is now. We emerging Christians live as though we recognize that. They say this world right now that we live in is Christ's kingdom. And there's a problem with that. In one sense, we could say Jesus Christ is reigning and ruling in the hearts of those that have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. But to say that this world right now is the kingdom of Christ is a faulty view of what the Bible teaches. There will be a time when Jesus Christ will literally reign and rule on this earth, and that is the millennium. That is future. That is not right now. It says this, heaven, this is their words, heaven is here now embodied in the earth and the mud. It is a kingdom that has come and yet is still coming. He says this, signs of the kingdom of God on this earth are everywhere. And here's the signs of Christ's coming, according to the emerging church. Wherever you see the tender embrace of reconciliation, there's the kingdom of God. Whenever you see the healing touch of forgiveness, whenever you notice bands of people living cooperatively and sharing possessions, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, defending the cause of the poor, wherever you see that, you see God's kingdom today. Wherever you find people healing one another's wounds, praying and working for justice and peace, there you are witnessing God's kingdom. Well, what we see then is eschatology and even salvation deals a whole lot less with you must be born again, and as many as receive them, to them give you power to become the sons of God, and repent and be saved. We see a whole lot less of that, and rather just embrace the doing good around you, then you're a part of the kingdom of God. All right, so the message of the gospel for salvation has become offensive. And so here's the replacement for it. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, live in a community with another person, share your possessions. There you're a part of the kingdom of God. Well, a very important thing has been neglected, and that is personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Okay, so we hop right over top of the part of the gospel that's most offensive, which is repent of your sins. And without that, you're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. They will not say that. And you'll see later, they will not say that. They hate that terminology. And so to make the gospel less offensive or to fit the culture, salvation and really the kingdom of God becomes just a series of good works. So ultimately, we end up at a works salvation anyway, which is why I say it's not just an adjustment in the church, it's a new religion that is brought into churches. This is not something that is based on Scripture. All right, there's some other issues here. Let's see here. Eschatology, we just talked about that it changes the fact that Christ's kingdom is future, and it puts Christ's kingdom as now. And salvation also is dramatically affected by this. We'll find out that many of the emerging church leaders, ultimately, their ultimate belief is in the universal salvation of all men. All right, so one of them says this, I should hasten to point out that one might be exclusivist in the sense of believing that God works salvation through Christ alone, and a universalist with respect to whom that salvation applies. In fact, many in the emerging church are Christocentric universalists, believing that all human beings are ultimately reconciled to God. Eventually, love will win, God will win, and all will be saved. Which is why a church that just simply embraces culture and is not offensive and doesn't preach repentance and being born again is an easy way to fit in well with this world. It just happens to not be what the Bible teaches. Our job is not to fit the Bible into what we feel, but rather to take the Bible as it is and give it to men and let God's word work salvation. What is somewhat remarkable among emerging Christians is the acknowledgement that flashes of God's kingdom are found among those who don't identify themselves with Christ. So here they're opening the door to say, just because you don't believe in Christ doesn't mean you can't be a part of God's kingdom. Isn't that interesting? Does John 14:6 come to mind? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So regardless of your religious persuasion, you may be able to identify with God's kingdom. Some, sadly, may first need to experience hell, but eventually love will win, God will win, and all will be saved. That is old-fashioned universalism. That's nothing new. That's a belief that goes back hundreds of years, and it's popped up throughout church history. And throughout history, men that had the Bible and believed the Bible have said, no, the Bible does not teach that. Where does the Bible teach that? It doesn't. So they contended, they strived, they agonized for that. Both pastors and people in the pew took that truth and stood on the Bible and defended the Bible against these new religions. Okay, so the Son of Man, what's our Bible verse? Luke 19:10. Son of Man has come to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. That is good news for all people. But everyone is lost, and they need to be saved. So a lot of I think is going on here. You hearing that? I think, I actually see it as, that's fine, we're not dealing much with Scripture. We're dealing a lot with vain philosophy. What do you think he's going to say here? Okay, he's going to go to his neighbors that are Muslim or Jewish or atheists, people that we recognize need to hear what the Bible says about their soul, and let's see if he says, I'm going to give them God's very simple plan of salvation, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, providing a way to heaven for them. That's what he would say if he was using his Bible to reach others, but let's see what he says.
As well as my neighbors who are Christian, and I go to them as a follower of Jesus, seeking to bring the good news of the kingdom to them, seeking to bring the good news of God's love to them. Some of them might be open to it, some of them might not, but I don't go to them with this idea of you're an outsider, I need to help you become an insider. I go to them with the idea that I, as a follower of Jesus, am called to be your servant.
Okay. See, that sounds nice, doesn't it? He sounds like the nicest guy. What, does he sound like a nice guy? He sounds like a great guy. I mean, everything's okay. I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Now, within, I believe it was within the last year, just so you're aware, Brian McLaren, he attended a wedding. His son got married, and he was there attending his son's wedding. Can you guess who his son married? Well, you don't have to guess the name. Can you guess the gender? Married another man. But he's inclusive. He's a servant.
And I, as a follower of Jesus, want to manifest the love and grace of God to you. The question of my attitude and tone in bringing that message is very, very significant. If I come let me give you this analogy. Let's say I'm a surgeon. I know how to perform surgeries. And I come into a disaster zone where there's been some huge natural disaster. I uniquely can bring surgical skill to that. There are no other surgeons around. That doesn't mean I go to the psychiatrist and say, you guys are worthless, or I go to the people who specialize in first aid and say, we don't need you, I'm a surgeon. No, I've got something you need. It doesn't mean what you have is worthless. This to me is tremendously important when we talk to people of other religions. I fear that what we call exclusivism is more tinged with colonialism than we realize. And colonialism is this attitude toward the world that says, my people are civilized, my people are advanced, you are savages, and you need to come up to our level. It's very, I think we have to purge that. Even if a person...
So, okay, sorry for all the breaks, but you see what he says there. You are colonialists, you're imperialists, you are... coming in and you're saying, we have all the answers, we are good, you are bad, you need to submit to us. So he's painting a picture here and pushing people that go out and share the gospel with people into this box of colonialists. Believe me, you and I have done a lot of knocking on doors. I have never in my life tried to colonize or be an imperialist in LaPorte. Not my goal. I don't know who exactly he's talking about. I don't seek to make my bus route my personal kingdom.
So wants to be an exclusivist. They better purge the colonialism from
all right, and he has a good friend named Rob Bell. Rob Bell wrote some interesting books. The most popular of which is the book called Love Wins. And Rob Bell was a megachurch pastor up near Grand Rapids till recently. And even that church, when he came out with this book, saw through him. And let's hear what he has to say about salvation, what Rob Bell has to say about salvation. My suggestion is the Bible.
And then there is the question behind the question, the real question, what is God like? Because millions and millions of people were taught that the primary message, the center of the gospel of Jesus, is that God is going to send you to hell.
Brand new book from the best-selling author of Velvet Elvis. If you haven't read that, I mean, you just haven't read anything. So what happens here is basically Rob Bell and his type have taken the Bible and said what the Bible says is not true. What we feel, what we would like to be true is fact. He's taken the Bible out. The Bible's not his authority any longer. And so we see that there are, ultimately what we find in this church is a church that is a great home to people that are rebels. The emerging church is a home for rebels. There's a book named Blue Like Jazz. And in this book, the author, Donald Miller, says how when he was young, I refused to be restricted by teaching of traditional type churches. He said, you had to believe Christianity, you had to believe absurdities like the Garden of Eden and the universal flood, these children's stories. He said, you had to believe these fairy tales, and I refused to be clasped by these silly stories from Scripture. And he said that this book that he wrote, it's a Christian book, but it doesn't make you feel bad about yourself. He said, one of the people that read this book, they liked it. And here's what she said. I'm a Jesus girl, but I also like to go out and do tequila shots with my friends. So this is a book I can give to those friends. And other books, there he is. And then we have another book here by David Foster, A Renegade's Guide to God. He mocks Bible thumpers and calls for a renegade type of Christianity that resists being named, revolts at being shamed, and rebels against being tamed. He says in this book, we won't be told what to do or commanded how to behave. The emerging church is a magnet for rebels. There's David Foster. Mark Driscoll is an emerging church preacher from Seattle. He's well known for hosting New Year's Eve beer brewing parties at their church so they can have a good time, and is known as the cussing preacher for the filth that he uses during his messages. Bill Hybels up here at Willow Creek, he changed Willow Creek in one of the very first emerging churches just outside of Chicago. Joyce Meyer, a lot of people like to watch her on television. There she is. All right, and then Franklin Graham, continuing down the road that his father, of course, started. Rock the River is his T-shirt there as he's preaching. These all seem so distant from us. These people, like, they're out there somewhere. They're far, far away. They don't really affect us. I don't even know any of those people. Well, we'll get a little closer now to people that are in the past, one way or the other, of Fairhaven Baptist Church or College. Okay, so back where Brother Kuhn is sitting there one time about 24, 23 years ago, we were in the middle of a CE class, and Dr. Vogelin was teaching the college students, and back there sat a college student who was here for just a year, year and a half, and he was a rebel. And he got expelled, and on the way out of campus, he vandalized our property. Good guy there. And he got married to a girl that had grown up here in this church, and he went his way. He has a church now just outside of Detroit, and it's called Heritage Church. And this is Scott. We'll turn it down just a little bit. This summer, he had a sermon series called Summer at the Movies. So what he did is he took a different present-day Hollywood movie, showed clips of it, and then preached on a theme from that movie to his church. And so here's his advertisement for his church is, come to our church. It's more fun at Heritage Church. It's more fun. It's more fun. How many of you were at the parade on the day after Thanksgiving, the Chesterton Parade? We were told to come to Road to Life because it's cool. That's what we were told as we were standing by there on the side. Isn't this great, as the float resembled more of a nightclub than a church? This is a church that has been transformed by the emerging new religion. Come on, party soon. turning this down just a little bit, but this is in their church. If you didn't catch that, it's more than just a service. It's a Jesus party, was what that said there. So that is the church up here at Heritage. He was a student here at Fairhaven for a couple years, and he was a rebel, and he's found a home. He's found a home. Another guy visited here with his family. He thought about coming to college here. His dad actually preached in chapel here, and he ended up going to another college, married a girl at that college whose dad also preached here. All right, so these are two kids raised in independent fundamental Baptist churches. But now this church that's pastored by this man is also near Detroit, and it's called the City Church. That's a picture on the church website of the pastor. There he is, pastor and his family there. That's under the pastor of the church. You can find his picture, Pastor Jackson and his family there. Okay, and then he preached Easter. He preached this past Easter a sermon for his Easter Sunday, and I'll play this, and then let's see if you can catch what the title of his Easter Sunday morning service was. Oh, before that, here's Hype Night. They have a teen night at their church on Friday nights, and here's what you can come to and see there. That's the people they have coming for your teens there. All right, Embracing Culture. Here's the sermon from the Easter Sunday morning church service. Okay, he just said, Jesus is dope. That's the title of his Easter Sunday morning church service. He also said this is the only day out of the year that he put a tie on when he preached. Most of his sermons, he's in a football jersey. Jesus is dope. It's hard to even say that without feeling sacrilegious. That's the title of, how'd you like to go to church? And that's your Easter Sunday morning service there.
You are in the house today. Turn to somebody and give them a high five. Welcome them to the City Church. Let's give a round of applause for everybody that's here today. Can you do that? I am glad that you are here.
All right, so these aren't people that started off in the emerging church. These are people that started off in independent fundamental Baptist churches, knocking on doors on Saturday, going to Christian schools, going to Christian Bible colleges, graduating from Christian Bible colleges. And now they found a home for their rebellion, and it's called the Emerging Church. So it's, yes, some of the stuff's far out. We started off with some kind of some far out stuff, didn't we? But this hits a little bit closer to home. It hits very close to home. One generation away, I would say, in the Emerging Church, and I'll close with this, that Brian McLaren, who we spent a lot of time listening to, he was interviewed recently, and he said, I know we're not going to get a lot of people that are in churches right now, the present generation. He says, but our target is to get their grandkids. He says, we will get your grandkids. And so for that, we say, let us earnestly contend for the faith. Don't just let it be in the pulpit. Let it be inside of you. That's the command in Jude. All of us agonize, strive, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lord, we pray that you would help us to